Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
Before I get too deep into today's topic, I feel compelled to give you a bit of a warning that this might be a walk down melancholy road. I want to talk about the passage of time. And that can be a topic that's no fun and discouraging, and I hope it isn't. I think there are some positive lessons to learn from the passage of time, but there's also some preliminary precautions we have to be careful of. Because of that age-old truth that most of us think that time began when we were born, and so our place in the flow of history determines how we think of history and change and etc. My photographic birth, as it were, happened roughly in 1970. So whatever was popular in 1970 affects me more substantially than someone who picked up photography in, say, 1990, or as far as that goes, 1950. Time is a funny thing in that regard, and certainly aesthetic conventions come and go. Culture and popular tastes are constantly changing. Those of you who have been listening to me for a while know that I'm a fan of big band music. But here's a good example. There are no radio stations that play big band music anymore, even though it once ruled the airwaves. And what is popular today, I'm sure, will look quaint and archaic, and maybe even a bit silly when it's looked back on 50 or 100 years from now. Popularity is a fleeting commodity. And certainly, the photographic aesthetic that I grew up with and still love to this day because I'm a product of my times is losing audience and slowly, slowly sliding into history. And I've been observing this now for, well, the 50 years I've been involved in photography. This really came home to me a dozen or so years ago when I was doing a review session in Portland at Photo Lucida. And a young woman, recent MFA graduate, came up to my table, put down her body of work, and proceeded to show me her portfolio. Some of you have heard me tell this story before, but it's still shocking to me. I looked at her body of work. It was quite competent. It was quite good. And meaning to give her a compliment, I said, "Your work reminds me a lot of the work of Edward Weston." And she looked at me with an absolutely straight face, MFA graduate in photography, and said, "Who's Edward Weston?" And suddenly, I felt like I was about 1,000 years old and had lost touch with culture over millennia. How can you be an MFA graduate and not know who Edward Weston is? Well, I suppose the same thing could be said for those of you who aren't fans of big band music like I am. Do you know who Jan Savitt is, or Jerry Gray, or Red Norvo, or Charlie Barnett? I can hear their music in my head just by saying their names because I love that music. But as performers, they are long gone, thankfully preserved in the medium of the day, some 78 RPMs, and occasionally I can find some of their music on the internet, but you're never going to hear them in a radio station. And it's only a matter of time before the photography I love, like Edward Weston, is no longer being published, no longer being exhibited, no longer a part of the contemporary photographic scene. I had another experience. Again, I've told this story before, so maybe you've heard it. I was at a big photography conference in 2009 in Lishui, China. There was about 120 or so Westerners who were invited to participate in this. I was one of them. And I happened to go out photographing one afternoon when we didn't have anything on the schedule in the conference. And by the time I got back, it was already dinner time. And there was a room set up for the 120 or so of us from Europe and North America to have a buffet-style dinner. And the tables were all full and everybody was there and a lot of conversation. And I was looking for a place to sit with my dinner. and I noticed that there was only one spot available at a table that looked like it was completely occupied with what I would call the New York gallery scene representatives. A table full of young women, all dressed in gallery black, looking very sophisticated, the very definition of art. And here I am in my hiking boots and my camera and my backpack and a hiking staff. But I did recognize one of the women who was at the table, Laura Moya, who I've known for years as a result of her participation and leadership at Foto Lucida. And I walked up and said, "Can I sit here?" She said, "Certainly." And she then introduced me to all the other women sitting in this round table. She said, "Here's Brooks Jensen. He's the editor of Lenswork." And one of the women, a very gallery-looking representative, said dismissively, "Oh, you're the one still publishing landscapes." And I thought about that for a minute and realized I'd never heard such a compliment coming from a gallery person. I was very, very proud of the fact that that's how she identified me. Still publishing landscapes, as though they've gone out of phase. At that moment, I realized the photography that I love was slowly sliding into history. And that was 18 years ago. It's gotten worse since then. So what are we to do? Well, I don't think there's anything we can do. I think it's just a reality. It's like asking a group of people what their favorite flavor of ice cream is. Everybody has their own flavor. All those opinions are very personal. It's not my job, it's not anybody's job to tell other people what flavor of ice cream they ought to like. It's just a reality that everybody will have their own favorite based on their own criteria. And vive la difference. It's okay if our kind of aesthetic enjoyment doesn't agree with anybody else. And one of the ways that that's likely to happen with accelerated speed as we age is the recognition that we are a product of our times. And as a result of that, my favorite photographer list is predictable, based on who was popular in the 1970s and 80s. Alfred Stieglitz, Ansel Adams, Edward Weston, André Kertész, Paul Strand, Walker Evans, Dorothea Lange, Margaret Burke White, Minor White, Imogen Cunningham, Brett Weston, Eugene Ache, Elliot Porter, Oliver Galliani, Paul Caponegro, Maury Kamhai, Jay Dussard. That's just some of my favorites. And I'll bet you two bits that for some of you, every one of those names rings a bell. You can bring our images to mind, and you're probably either roughly my age or gotten involved in photography somehow in the 1970s. Because these were the photographers who were at the top of popularity during those times. For others of you listening to this, you're going to say, "Who? Who? Who is that?" and have no idea who I'm talking about. And other than the fact that they comprise part of a list of the photography that I love, they may be unfamiliar names to you whose work and aesthetic is equally unfamiliar. But it is always possible to introduce people to the music of Jan Savitt or Jerry Gray or Red Norvo or Charlie Barnett, just like it's possible to introduce a younger generation of photographers to Minor White or Elliot Porter or Paul Caponegro. I don't think my favorite photographers are still going to be at the top of everybody's favorite photographers lists in another 20 or 50 years, any more than my favorite big band musicians are going to be at the top of the playlists today, let alone 25 or 50 or 100 years from now. We are the product of our times. Which brings me to one funny little point, and that is our obsession with producing archival prints. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, but the reality is our prints might be archival, but our aesthetic, our familiarity, our popularity, our distribution probably won't be. and the fact that we listen to a lot of big band music on scratchy old 78 records doesn't mean we prefer scratchy old 78 records. It just is what it is, and we enjoy them in spite of their technological simplicity. The same thing could be said of our archival prints. We may think they're as perfect as they can possibly be because we've used all the right materials and fussed and fretted over them with commitment and with passion. But the truth is, the technology of 50 or 100 years from now is going to make our technology look pretty primitive. And I have tremendous confidence in saying that because it's been that way for the entire history of photography. Archival prints simply can't keep up with the changing aesthetic times. And that's not an excuse for us not to use archival materials and not to produce our work with care. But the reality is, the largest audience for our work is very likely to be here, today, now, not 50 or 100 or 200 years from now, any more than the aesthetic excellence of big band musicians is a determining factor in their popularity today. I would propose that the big band musicians are way better musicians than most of what we hear today. But that doesn't mean their music is topping the charts. Those days are long gone. The passage of time. And that reminds me of one other story that I think tangentially fits into this conversation. And that is an episode I was watching years ago of the Antique Roadshow, in which an individual brought to have evaluated two original Ansel Adams gel and silver prints. Now, these were images that I'd never seen before, images that aren't famous, probably images that aren't published, at least not that I'm aware of, but they were signed Ansel Adams original prints. And I thought, wowee, two of them, two unknown images. This will be really interesting. And the appraiser suggested that they might be worth $1,500 apiece. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Even the worst, most obscure, most unknown art painters will have their work evaluated for a lot more than $1,500. Oftentimes, tens of thousands. For some painter you've never heard of, that's someone whose place in the history of fine art painting is obscure to anyone except true fans. Names like Jan Savitt, Jerry Gray, Red Norvo, or Charlie Barnett. If you're a big band fan, you know these people and their bands well. If you're not a big band fan, you have no idea who I'm talking about. The same thing happens with photography and with painting and with all other art media. They come, they go. Aesthetic conventions, culture and popular tastes are constantly changing. And the photography I love says something about me and the times in which I became interested in photography and the heroes that I admired who were my artistic ancestors and my aesthetic fellow travelers. But that says a lot more about me than it does about them. I'm delighted that I have this large group of photographers whose work inspires me, whom I love, who have made such an influence and an impact in my life. And the fact that they may not have that same impact and that same popularity in the future is not a melancholy realization. It just is what it is because that's the way history works. That's the way the passage of time works. So enjoy the artwork that you do. And even though that artwork will fade into history and be lost forever, that eventuality doesn't need to diminish your appreciation of the work today and give us an aesthetic thrill today because they happen to be the artists and heroes we admire during our lifetime.
Copyright 2026, Lenswork Publishing.